Baby News, written by Yvonne, read by Sweaters in the Summer. Summary: the realization hits Dudley like an anvil of dread. The posh psychopath who's been stalking him is Harry's husband, and he's in Dudley's house. During his 15 months career at Sainsbury's, Dudley has seen it all. Nude shoppers, customers returning half-eaten food, people boycotting the store over its jam and cream order in a scone ad. But he has never, not once in his life, met someone who didn't know what a credit card was. "This is a business card," he tells the man. Some French book, apparently, based on the name on the card. D.L. Malfoy, Arithmancer. Dudley has no idea what that means, but it sounds fancy. Academic. He knows the type. Someone who's a veritable genius in their field, but a social disaster outside of it. This guy doesn't look the part, though. For one, he's in a three-piece suit of some expensive charcoal fabric. His hair is neatly cut, if a tad old-fashioned, and his buttons glitter under the harsh neon lights of the store. They must be real silver. What business does a posh boy like him have at Sainsbury's? Or is it just a French thing, dressing like a model from some bloody perfume catalog? "You asked for a card," this Malfoy bloke says, and fuck, that's the most aristocratic accent Dudley has ever heard outside of the telly. "I asked cash or card," Dudley replies. It's near closing time. He's too tired for politeness, and he's not the only one. An old hag down the line sighs and taps her ugly fingernails on the conveyor belt. The woman behind Malfoy yawns. Unhurried, Malfoy uses his right hand to open a pouch attached to his belt, while his left curls around his bizarre little pot belly. It's small, but on that thin frame, any curve would look grotesque, Dudley supposes. At the sound of metal clinking, he suppresses a groan. He glances at Malfoy's purchases, a cinnamon bun and a green pram suit for a newborn. Not the oddest late-night cart, but it's unusual to say the least. Is it too much to hope that he'll pay the exact amount?
"That should cover it."
Malfoy gives him a handful of coins haughtily. "These are euros." Dudley separates two weirdly clean coins. "And these are pounds." He points at the rest, gritting his teeth. "Could you please choose one currency?" Malfoy purses his lips, looking back and forth between the coins, then starts rooting around in his pouch again. He extracts some huge gold coins, but doesn't offer them to Dudley, thank God. He glances back at the pounds in Dudley's hand before finally working out the correct currency. It's a relief. "Your change." Dudley holds it out for him, bored. Three more customers to go, and he can get out of here. Malfoy's upper lip curls in disgust.
"Keep it."
He steps away, folding the baby outfit and putting it in his pouch as well. How does it even fit? Dudley wonders, then dismisses the thought. Another anecdote he can amuse Amy with when he gets home. Except, Malfoy doesn't leave. He leans against the counter by the exit and eats his cinnamon bun there, with tiny bites that would look timid if his face wasn't set like he's sodding royalty. Pretentious arsehole. He stares at Dudley from his vantage point until Al, the security guard, tells him to leave. Dudley shudders, glad to see him go. There's something unsettling in his eyes. Silver contact lenses? Dad would throw a fit if he heard. With any luck, Dudley won't have to see them again. The next day, however, he's in the process of restocking the cat food aisle when he looks up and finds those same ice-cold eyes fixed on him. He turns back to the shelves, hyper-conscious of the weight of that stare. He can't hear any footsteps. Is Malfoy just standing there watching Dudley? Sweat beads at his hairline and neck. Why? Why do the weirdest, creepiest things always happen to him? It's Harry's fault. A vicious, childish voice whines in his head. It has been a while since he thought of him and his sort. When Amy asked about the scars on his arse, actually, from that bloody pigtail. he still gets flashbacks of the hairy giant sometimes. Jesus, what if this bloke is one of those people? A wizard. And wasn't there some kind of war 5 years ago? Something that Harry got involved in? What if Malfoy, if that's even his real name, is someone from the other side? A criminal? Perhaps he's here to kidnap Dudley and use him to get to Harry, but he doesn't know anything. He'll be useless, and they'll kill him once they realize that. What if they torture him? Dudley? A confused voice breaks through his panic. It's Prisha, one of his co-workers. They need some help at checkout 5. Forgot one of the codes again. He raises his eyes, but finds Malfoy gone. His trembling hand wipes at his forehead. Okay, I'm going. He tries to forget it over the course of the week. Malfoy doesn't come to the store again, so it all seems like nothing more than a bit of paranoia. Some of the symptoms he had after his near-death experience when he was 15 come back, but Amy's there to bring him back from his nightmares and make fun of him when he needs it to snap out of a distracted mood. He dreams of being trapped in a snake's terrarium while Malfoy stares at him from the other side of the glass, and she's happy to get up with him in the middle of the night to walk the fear off. They go to the end of their dark suburban street and then back, and her small hands hold onto the crook of his elbow steadily. She smells like cinnamon, like autumn. Dudley's favorite season, because Harry always left after the summer, he thinks, so those first few months were the best. Under the orange glow of the streetlights, he feels thankful to have a girlfriend like her, someone who isn't ashamed of him, someone who doesn't mind him getting quiet when he thinks of Harry, someone who understands the vague resentment he feels for his parents. He usually tries to bury it down deep, but it has been on his mind again recently. A few blocks away from home, Amy strokes his arm and takes his hand instead. Is this because of the letter?
Letter?
Dudley frowns in confusion. From your cousin. It arrived a few days ago. I thought you'd read it. I put it in the basket. Fuck. Dudley is supposed to read everything in the to-do basket, but he keeps forgetting. It's a frequent argument between them, because a bill or two had been left there for too long, and then Dudley had to scramble to take care of them.
Of course, that letter.
You're a rubbish liar, Amy says, but she doesn't let go of his hand. I even asked you about it. Can I tell your cousin that he can come over and have dinner with us next Saturday? And you nodded.
Dudley winces. Sorry.
Amy sighs. Do you ever pay attention to me, Duds?
Yes, Dudley rushes to salvage the situation. I must have been tired.
You work too much, Amy tells him, which is not something he's been accused of often. Do you know your cousin's number? We could still call it off if you're not okay with it.
No, it's fine, Dudley says.
He doesn't want to admit that he doesn't know Harry's number. He isn't even sure if Harry has one.
Why does he want to come over?
I don't know. He said he had news.
News. The last time Harry had news, Dudley and his parents had to leave their home.
Are they in danger again? Is Amy? What if that Malfoy bloke is another dark wizard, someone who wants to see normal people like them bleed? Because Dudley isn't stupid. He knows that Harry fought against some bloodthirsty maniac and won, but there will always be new ones.
When was the last time you saw each other? Amy asks.
2 years ago.
It was an ordinary day in late July, oppressively warm and heady with the scent of dust and dried crops, even in London. Dudley had just come out of an unsuccessful job interview and was sweating through his suit, eyes watering from a mix of hay fever and disappointment. He needed a cold beer. Desperate, he entered the first pub in sight, and there Harry was, laughing with the Irish bartender, tan and fitter than ever. Dudley's instincts wailed at him to flee, but it was too late. He'd been spotted, and he couldn't very well pretend he didn't recognize his own cousin. They nursed their drinks at the bar for 5 excruciatingly silent minutes before Dudley noticed a detail that left him floored.
You're married?
He gaped at Harry's fingers as they twitched on the cool glass of beer in his hand. A sheepish look crossed Harry's face. He put his drink down to fiddle with a simple platinum ring,
spinning it on his finger. Kind of. Kind of. I mean, yes, I'm married, but it's only legal in our world. The magical world.
I don't understand.
Harry glanced at the bartender, who gave him an amused look. His name is Draco.
Oh.
Dudley's mind raced. So Harry was gay then? He had suspected sometimes, when Harry hadn't even glanced at the girlfriend Dudley brought home to meet his parents, but had mumbled about some Cedric in his sleep instead. It was a completely different thing to know it, though. Some of the thoughts rising in that storm were rude and violent, he knew, but they pressed against his lips nevertheless. What a complete freak, he thought. But he went over it again and arrived at, who cares if it doesn't affect anyone else? Nowadays, it's much easier to reach that conclusion, to let things go and recognize ideas that his parents put in his head. But back then, it took minutes to recover from the shock.
Strange name, he commented at last, when Harry's expression was starting to harden.
Right? Sounds like a Ponce to me, the bartender snickered, and Harry shot him a withering look.
Shut up, Seamus, he said.
Then a small, private smile flickered on his face. We've just come back from our honeymoon. It was so... He cleared his throat, perhaps sensing that it was too much for Dudley to process. Anyway, what's up with the suit, Big D?
A wedding should count as big news, no matter how Dudley looks at it. But Harry didn't invite him. He wouldn't have heard if they hadn't bumped into each other then. So what could be so earth-shattering to ask for a visit? He's scared to find out.
It must be important then, Amy says, guiding them to their front door.
What?
The news. She gives him a fond look. You're like a zombie when you're half asleep, babe. Dudley musters a weak smile.
Yes, it has to be important.
The next day, Malfoy's back. In a sleek black coat and another smart suit, he's waiting by Dudley's car at the end of Dudley's shift. He's backlit by the late afternoon sunshine, painting light, and there's a serene smile on his face as he drums his fingers on his misshapen stomach. It twists into a menacing blank mask when Dudley steps into his line of sight.
Hello, Dursley.
It may be a greeting, but it sounds like a threat.
How do you know my name? Dudley demands.
His knuckles are white around his car key. Malfoy snorts. His expression is pure disdain.
You look nothing like him.
Who?
My husband.
Malfoy's thin lips twitch.
Only your nose, perhaps.
Something in Dudley snaps. Husband! This man is a complete nutcase. There's no such thing as gay marriage.
Listen here. I don't know which madhouse you came from, but you'd better leave me alone. I was a boxing champion in high school.
Malfoy laughs, and it sounds hysterical, insane to Dudley's ears.
Trust me, I have no desire to fight you.
He tucks a stray lock of his blonde fringe back into order. He could be handsome if it wasn't for that psycho aura.
But make no mistake, I would incapacitate you much sooner than you could lay a single finger on me.
Dudley inches towards his car.
What do you want? To discuss a private matter.
I have no business with you. Dudley fumbles the door open and jumps inside, yelling,
Get away from me!
He locks the car and speeds away with the sound of screeching tires, keeping his eyes on Malfoy's shrinking silhouette in the rearview mirror until he almost collides with a truck on the main road. He got away. God, he got away, he repeats to himself. Malfoy can't follow him. If he ever comes back to Sainsbury's, Dudley will call the cops. It's the mantra he chants in his head all the way home, but when he opens the front door, it all comes crashing down on him. A pair of expensive Oxfords sit meticulously arranged on the shoe tray. On the coat rack, the same black coat that he saw on Malfoy today hangs next to Amy's jacket. There's a blonde strand of hair on its lapel. A male voice rumbles in the kitchen and makes Amy laugh.
Dudley, you didn't say we were expecting your cousin's boyfriend, she calls out.
The realization hits Dudley like an anvil of dread. The posh psychopath who's been stalking him is Harry's husband, And he's in Dudley's house. He can't breathe.
In fact, he didn't even tell me that his cousin dated men,
he hears Amy say as he forces his numb legs to take him to the kitchen. And there he is, D.L. Malfoy. Draco, fuck. Sitting at his table, sipping tea from a cup. How the fuck did he get here so fast? By using magic, his brain supplies the answer a moment later. Hello. Malfoy smirks at him magnanimously and smooths out the wrinkles in his sweater. It pulls taut on his belly. Dudley feels like he's going to faint. Is he pointing his wand at Dudley under the table? Amy strokes his back. You okay, babe? Yeah, he croaks, taking the cup she pushes into his hand. Thanks. She chats with Malfoy for half an hour about random mundane topics, carefully skirting around the more sensitive subjects, while Dudley stands mute and frozen by the kitchen counter. He's defenseless, caught. His tea cools in his hand. It feels like a joke that he's on home territory, and yet Malfoy is the one who's comfortable. It gets worse, though. Amy stands up and announces that she has an appointment at the nail salon. She likes to get them done, and Dudley loves to see her happy. But right now, if he could, he would set the whole salon on fire, just so that she wouldn't leave him alone with Harry's disturbed boyfriend. Husband, his mind corrects automatically. He doesn't plead with her, though. It wouldn't be a good idea to give his fear away in front of this bloke. He gives Amy a quick peck on the lips and waits for the front door to close before he sets his untouched cup down on the counter. Malfoy surveys the room calmly, then turns his unnatural metallic eyes to Dudley's.
I will keep this brief.
What? Dudley squeaks, then curses himself. Way to go. Now it's more than obvious he's terrified. Malfoy gives him a look as if Dudley's the one who belongs in a mental health facility.
I have a request, and I wanted to ensure you'd grant it.
Dudley swallows. What kind of request?
As you know, Harry wants to rekindle the relationship between you two. I believe it's a futile idea, but he wouldn't be deterred. He says he wants to get over his horrible childhood. I suppose it's because of the baby.
Malfoy shakes his head.
What I want is for you to be a decent human being in those few hours you have to spend with us.
Scoffing, Dudley crosses his arms. You're the one to talk about decency. Malfoy's look turns flat.
I know what it's like to be a prejudiced arsehole, so let me make this easier for you.
He rolls his left sleeve up to his elbow, revealing an ugly skull-shaped scar.
Do you know what this means?
Dudley shakes his head, his heart pounding away wildly. Is it a prison tattoo? Wide-eyed, he watches as Malfoy rises and crosses the room to stand in front of him.
It means that I have served in the war. I know the dark side of magic.
His voice is low, but much more dangerous than Dad's yelling or Aunt Marge's snarls.
If you hurt my family in any way, I'm going to make sure you do, too.
Dudley gasps. He doesn't want to see any kind of magic, especially not something that has been used in that war. He remembers the news from that period, the horrible deaths and unexplainable horror accidents. He would do anything to avoid becoming another piece of those kinds of news. The corners of Malfoy's lips curl.
Do we have a deal?
Dudley nods, unable to speak.
Splendid.
Malfoy's terrifyingly calm face splits into a smile.
In that case, we'll get along just fine. Do try to act a bit surprised when Harry tells you about the baby. I would prefer for this conversation to stay between us.
He walks back to the front door. Dudley follows him in a daze. I wasn't going to. I try to be nicer than I used to be. Malfoy looks up at him, struggling to button his coat over his bulging stomach.
Well, you have a lot to make up for.
Dudley casts his eyes down. I know. There's a pause, then the door opens.
See you on Saturday.
With that, Malfoy leaves. The weekend arrives sooner than Dudley would have liked it to. Although, if he had to be honest, the most preferable scenario would have been something like Groundhog Day. Then Saturday would never come, and he wouldn't have to see Malfoy again. As it is, he tries to procrastinate, even thinking about it. He lets Amy handle the food, and he himself stays in the spare room, playing a video game and trying to assure himself that Harry won't let his husband kill him. Around 5:30, he mutes the game, anxiously waiting for the doorbell to ring. He's a mess, and the evening hasn't even started. He knows he and Harry have a crap history, but their last meeting went well, didn't it? And that was 2 years ago. He met Amy since then, and she, in his opinion, would be capable of changing anyone for the better. A sudden popping noise yanks him out of his thoughts. A backfiring car, he thinks. But then, through the cracked open window, the sound of voices drifts over to him. Feeling all right? It's Harry. Dudley's heart plummets.
Yes, stop hovering,
a prissy voice answers. Malfoy, no doubt. But apparition
is perfectly safe until the third trimester.
Malfoy interrupts whatever Harry was going to say. He sounds like he's in a strop.
Like sex.
Draco, not now, Harry growls.
You neglect me. I'm entitled to have some complaints.
Neglect? That's rich. Last night I even offered to...
That's not enough, and you know it,
Malfoy snaps. Dudley wants to vomit.
It's not what I want.
I'm sorry. Can we please stop fighting until we get home? Harry starts. Then his words turn awkward and gentle. Oh, don't cry.
I'm not crying. I'm fucking angry.
Malfoy's clearly wet voice trembles. It's hard to imagine such a frightening, outlandish bloke weep, but it's not what Dudley's mind stumbles on. It's not even the fact that now he knows more than he ever wanted to about his cousin's sex life. It's the word trimester. A baby. Malfoy mentioned that to him, too. What the bloody hell are they talking about? There must be some logical explanation, because what's forming in his head is insane. Impossible. It's okay. I give in, Harry says, shushing. Tonight, if you really want to. But let's be careful. There's a sniff.
I hate you.
I know, I know.
For the record, this is your baby's doing. All of it.
Harry's laugh is startling in its brightness. Sure it is.
Let's get this over with,
Malfoy says. And a few seconds later, the bell rings. When Dudley opens the door, he and Harry stare at each other for a moment that would probably stretch on forever if it wasn't freezing cold outside. Strangely enough, it's not their last meeting that echoes in Dudley's thoughts as he welcomes Harry and a hostile-looking Malfoy inside, but the time when he told Harry he wasn't a waste of space. He tries to draw from that moment, when he felt defiant for the first time. When it crystallized in him that he and Harry could have had a different relationship if he hadn't acted the way he did. Hi, nice to meet you. Amy smiles, gives Harry a supremely awkward hug, and the spell is broken. A stilted conversation starts, and though Malfoy's silver eyes flash at him every now and then, Dudley manages to get through it all without putting his foot in his mouth or reverting to his teenage self. Amy is a wonderful host, even though she burns a chicken and has no idea where Harry went to boarding school. Dudley has never been more grateful for her. They get through dinner in a pleasant mood, and Harry's smiles grow wider, his posture turns looser, and Dudley finds himself relaxing too. Working on this might not be as much of a lost cause as Malfoy thought, after all. Who knows? It's only after dessert, when they're all sated and weighed down by the food, that Amy brings up Harry's letter. And you said you had some news? Ah, yes. Harry glances at Malfoy, who steeples his fingers over the curve of his stomach and arches an eyebrow. I wanted to tell you that we're going to have a baby. Amy looks nonplussed for a moment. It stretches long enough that Dudley wonders if they will have to tell her about wizards and wands and deadly curses, but eventually she breaks into a smile. Oh, I didn't know that same-sex couples could adopt. There's a pause, then Harry laughs. Well, they can. Congratulations! She seems genuinely excited for them, and something in Dudley's heart flutters. Maybe one day? It would be nice. Let me check. I think we have some champagne. She stands up from the table and disappears in the pantry, Harry on her heels. "We don't really drink," his voice trails off. Malfoy shakes his head, watching the doorway where they disappeared until Dudley clears his throat. Are you really? Dudley croaks, dying from embarrassment and utter incomprehension. He envies Amy for not having to deal with this, for not knowing that a whole other world exists alongside their own. It scares Dudley to death sometimes. Malfoy's steely eyes blink at him lazily.
As Harry said, we're expecting our first child.
But how?
The natural way, he says.
He sounds oddly proud.
We hoped that my pureblood heritage would be enough, and indeed, we didn't need any potions to conceive. Just a bit of patience.
His beaming face turns abruptly frosty.
But you wouldn't understand. All magic is the same to you.
Dudley shakes his head, eyes still locked on that little bump. A baby bump. On a man. No, not all magic is the same, because this is... If it's not an elaborate practical joke, it's incredible. I don't believe it. Malfoy affects an over-the-top concerned expression.
Oh, did the concept break your brain?
It did a little, Dudley feels like. He scratches his temple and grimaces. But how is it going to come out? Malfoy snorts. Something in his expression softens.
You remind me of a friend of mine. Thick as a brick, both of you.
Hey. Harry enters the room again, a bottle of sparkling grape juice in his hand. It's covered in dust. Really, you should take that as a compliment. He sits back down, stroking the line of Malfoy's shoulders once. He's teasing. Or not, Dudley thinks, but it would be a stupid thing to fight about. It's not worth it. He knows he's not very bright when it comes to certain matters, but he also knows that this Malfoy is a snob who pretends he's all tough, and Harry's awkward and defensive and still not a waste of space. Dudley isn't one either. They can find some common ground. With a bit of work. Perhaps. They toast. Harry talks about baby supplies, and Dudley brings up an anecdote that both he and Harry found funny back in the day. One of the few happy moments they shared. It wasn't all bad, he reminds himself. When Harry looks directly at Dudley as he laughs, Malfoy seems satisfied.
Well, as nice as this has been, he says after they all finish chuckling, I'm afraid we'll have to go now.
Amy looks stricken. Oh, but it's still early.
Unfortunately, we have a prior engagement tonight. It's quite urgent, you see.
Harry coughs and turns ruby red. Upon seeing him, Dudley blushes too. He feels queasy. If only he could erase his memories. Right. Harry takes Malfoy's hand and offers his right for Dudley to shake.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Malfoy nods, accepts a hug from Amy, and they leave. A few seconds later, Dudley hears a pop from the street. In the kitchen, Amy gives him a warm smile and an extra slice of cake. Dudley's fears dissipate. The end.